coming up on TMS. The dog's butt is COVID-free.
The one about the one-eyed nun and the four monkeys.
Gozer, the lockpicker.
Dressed like a Kinder Egg.
McGruff, the crime burger.
Small, medium, or roundabout.
18 park places and 35 pounds later.
Just okie, no dokie.
Doing half the okie dokie.
Tourette's O'Reilly, road rager.
She's not as methy as I expected.
Box of Illuminati pizza.
The McRover value meal.
How are you?
I knew that was going to throw me. Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Good morning. Chilly today. By saying good morning doesn't mean I want you to have a conversation with me.
I love your voice. What's wrong with it?
The Morning Stream. Bread goes in, toast comes out. You can't explain that.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Tuesday, September 14th, 2021. I am Scott Johnson, and that guy right there is Brian Ibbett. Good morning, Brian.
Hoya.
I'm doing okay, as my uncle would say. I'm okay, he'd say. Never okay. Say okay. He'd say okay. I'm okay, he'd say.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a weird dude.
But no dokey. You wouldn't say dokey at the end of that, just okay?
Nope, just okay. I think he was riffing on that and doing just half the okie dokey. And it annoyed me. I remember it annoying me when I was like 16. I'm like, why does he do that? And he just did it. And then he would lay, and then this is the same uncle that would immediately lean into a really dirty joke that he would tell me because he knew it would make me uncomfortable. And he would say it out loud so everybody could hear it. And he'd go, did you hear the one about the one-eyed nun and the four monkeys? And I'd go, oh, Uncle Joel, what are we doing? Oh, yeah, it's a great one. And then he'd tell me this horrible joke. Uh-huh. And I'd be embarrassed for the rest of the day. That was my whole relationship with Uncle Joel. That was the entire
excellent thing. Oh yeah. My God. All right. And I want somebody to come up with the best punchline for a joke that begins, did you hear the one about the one-eyed nun and the four monkeys? There's a punchline out there that's going to be perfect for this.
I wish I had the rest of that joke, but I don't. I made
it
up.
It really was
it was fake. I completely made it up.
Okay, good. I have no good
add-on, so somebody
will come up with a good punchline.
Yeah, you guys are all workshopping. Let's get that
four
done.
Monkeys walk into a bar. Bartender says, do you see the one-eyed nun over there in the corner?
Yeah, that's how that joke goes.
Monkeys don't say anything because they're monkeys.
Yeah, they're monkeys.
What are you doing in this bar, monkeys?
That's right. And they said, ee, ee, oo, oo. End of joke. That's the end of the joke.
That's right. Exactly.
So here's the deal. We were talking pre-show, and Brian started rolling right into a great Ireland story. And then you were like, wait a minute. Why am I not telling this on the air? So now we're doing it on the air. So why don't you do the little setup here as a McDonald's sort of question or something happening?
Yeah, the question was, because Claire knows that, well, a lot of the tadpole knows that I kind of have a weakness for the Monopoly game for McDonald's. It's definitely less lately because, number one, it's a scam and I know it. It's huge, you know, scam. You're never going to get Boardwalk. You're going to get 18 park places before you get Boardwalk, and you're going to gain 35 pounds in the process.
Yeah.
But
did you see that documentary that I recommended a long time back? The one about the game and how rigged it was and all the controversy.
Oh yeah, I think I recommended it to you guys. The Monopoly or McMillions.
Oh,
I think it was.
Maybe you said it, and then I watched.
Because I was the one who told you all about. You're going to love Agent Doug.
Doug, you are the one that recommended it. Then I watched it and I loved that documentary, but it made me realize that I never ever want to play that game again, ever.
Right. Yeah.
Like, even if they've cleaned it all up, it's like freaking F that, dude. You guys are all nuts. But anyway, sorry.
So but Agent Doug was the best.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Claire asked that and I started to say, yeah, I have a little confession to make, but it realized the confession about this really needs the setup behind it. Okay. All right. So I'm going to take you all the way back to two or three days before we left for our trip when I did some scramble searching online at all the local Walgreens to find two Abbott Laboratories self-taking COVID tests, right? Okay. This is like $25. You get a box that's got two COVID tests in it. You need to take them. No closer together than 48 hours, but for our flight we need them 72 hours before our flight. So we need to basically time it so that we take the last one within 3 days of the flight.
Okay. So these are the nasal deals, right?
These are the nasal deals. And you basically, just to kind of give you an idea, you stick the swab up your nose, you put a few drops in this cardboard card in a little hole.
Yeah.
You take your swab, you jam it through down one hole and up the other hole, and there you're welcome, Jamie.
Wow,
for that,
Jamie. Well, is it his birthday today, or what are we celebrating?
I know exactly. This one may have a bunch of stuff for you, Jamie. So just enjoy it.
Holy crap!
Then you peel a little sticker off, you fold the card over, you wait 15 minutes, and it looks like pregnancy test. If there's a red line in the control and nothing in the sample, then that means you don't have COVID. If you have a red line in both, then you have COVID.
Okay, and you don't hold it in your urine stream or any of that.
You don't hold it in your urine stream or anything like that.
All right, good.
So so we bought these, looking online and seeing things that say, yep, these antigen tests are approved for travel.
Yeah.
And you do them with the assistance of the Navica app, and you basically scan the code with your phone, you take the test, and then you report in the Navica app whether it was positive or negative.
Right.
That should be a red flag right there, right? There's no confirmation. Like,
yeah,
you're basically hitting a button in the app saying, yep, I don't have COVID, let me fly.
Yeah, that's weird.
There's no verification or anything.
Are they just really honest over there or something? That's the deal?
Well, here's the deal with that. There are two kinds of Abbott Laboratories self-home tests for COVID. You do the same thing in both, but the second one, somehow you connect with a proxy who watches you do the entire test via a webcam and makes sure you're not just sticking it up the dog's butt and then putting it in the thing to say, oh no, apparently you don't have COVID and neither does your St. Bernard.
Right.
So we didn't realize that until we did the second test and said, all right, how do we report this? How do we get an official thing? And then it says, oh, sorry, you can't.
Oh.
So all of a sudden we're in Cork and we're like, oh, this is good. Well, we know that they've got COVID tests all over the place. We can go get one.
Sure.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
We kind of even planned on it as a backup if we needed to.
Sure. That makes sense. It makes sense that they would have a lot around there, so you shouldn't have trouble getting it.
Yeah. And we've got like a 2-hour drive from Cork to back to Dublin. So we're figuring out, all right, well, there's a place at the airport that you can do it. And, oh, well, no, I take that back. There's a place at the Dublin Convention Center where you can do it. So, great. Okay, cool.
Gotcha.
So we drive to the Dublin Convention Center, which is on the south side of Dublin.
Yeah.
And they have a drive-through, and then they have another, you know, like a walk-in. We get up to the front. The guy says, what are you here for? And
Brian, please tell me you got this test while that Dublin Convention Center was holding Leprechaun. Tell me that was happening.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. Here's your complimentary pot of gold.
Yeah, come on in. Now you got to wear the wee hat.
Snacks are right over there. Would you like some blue diamonds or some purple horseshoes?
All right, sorry. I couldn't let that pass. Anyway. Continue on. You were there. All right.
So he directs us over. We basically park the car. We walk over. We fill out. We show our IDs. We get a form. We're saying, yeah, we're traveling. We need the COVID tests. And they direct us into, like, it's like a MASH setup, right? Like a little mobile army surgical hospital setup where they've got those half circle round, you know, half cylinder bunkers that you go into with folding chairs and a guy in a lab coat.
Sure.
And Tina says, and we'll get these results within 24 hours. This is the quick test. Oh no, you're here for the PCR test. This is a 72 hour test or 72 hour results. She's like, we leave tomorrow. This might be a little bit of a problem. Now, none of that was online about it being the PCR 72-hour deal.
Sure.
When we got there. So we did all this driving to the convention center, winding around, waiting in line, all this. And then they say, no, but if you go to the airport, they've got the 30-minute results antigen test that is approved for travel. So you're good with that. Like, all right. So plugged in the new address on our phone, Dublin Airport, which is on the north side of Dublin. So we've got to go all the way around Dublin. We get up there again, wait in line, show our passports, show our boarding pass information, and they take us through and get our tests. Again, not hugely stressful, but it's time that we would have liked to spend in Dublin, walking around and seeing the sights.
Yeah.
What it also meant was that our leaving in the morning from Cork after breakfast, it's now getting to be about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we've decided we're having boxed tea for dinner because we hadn't had any boxed tea. Yeah. And that's like the last thing on our list of when we're in Ireland, we got to make sure to have some boxed tea.
Yeah. I would have thought that we talked about it before. I would have thought that would have been an earlier in the trip deal, but never got around to
no,
it.
We couldn't find a place that that had it. We were looking for some specific things. Tina never got her shepherd's pie slash cottage pie. We were looking for there. That's a whole nother story about trying to find that. But
I love this checklist. It's amazing. So you did get your box.
Yes, exactly.
Though, right.
So we go to the airport. We do the thing there. We're waiting in line, and it's getting to be about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. We've done our tests. We've got our flight the next day. Yeah. We'll get stuff in time. No problem. Yeah. But we're hungry. And it's like, well, we don't want a lot. We want just something to tide us over so that we'll be hungry when it comes to 6 o'clock dinner time. Mm. As we're leaving the airport, we see a McDonald's. We're like, should we just get like a cheeseburger? Just something to tide us over for a few hours. You're like, yeah, okay, I won't tell if you won't. Yeah. Of course, I'm telling everybody right now. So we go through the drive-thru, and immediately the first thing I see is, it's Monopoly time in McDonald's.
Oh, no.
So it's like, great, okay, well, we're getting like the two cheeseburger meal. Here's something interesting about McDonald's. Mm. You know how everything French fries in Ireland is chips?
Yeah, it's all chips.
But yeah. At McDonald's, still called fries.
Oh, interesting. They don't want to.
So it's
wanna,
not. Would you like an extra value meal with some chips? No. It's.
Yeah, like we thought when we went to the McDonald's in China, I thought it would be just a regular old beef patty, but it was dog, and they just called it beef.
it's a McRover.
McRover.
It was
yeah, McRuff is what they called it, which was kind of weird. Anyway, right. So you got in there, you got your burgers ordered.
Got our burgers ordered, and sure enough, we did get a Monopoly things because we did the meal that's got two cheeseburgers, fries, and a drink. And we just, ate a cheeseburger each, had a few fries, split the Coke Zero. Yeah. And sure enough, these things had Monopoly pieces on them. And we pulled one off, and it said Dublin Airport. I'm like, well, how do they know that we got this at the McDonald's at the Dublin Airport?
Yeah.
And I really pondered this for a few minutes until I realized that Dublin Airport is like their equivalent of the railroads on the Monopoly America, reading railroad, being no railroad. So we really just got the Dublin Airport Monopoly piece. We just so happened to get it at the McDonald's at the Dublin Airport.
Yeah.
And then we won free fries or something. It's like, well, not going to enjoy this, but it's a nice souvenir. Yeah. Here we go. We've got our winning McDonald's piece from McDonald's we're never going to go to.
But that's cool to have. That's a cool thing. I would have that. That's great.
Souvenir. Yeah. Because, McDonald's, it's an Irish name. Yeah. Or it's maybe Scottish.
I think it is Scottish, but yeah.
Yeah, I think Scottish.
Still, that's great. That's great. Anyway, I love that. I would love that kind of souvenir. It's like a weird crossovery, weird thing. You're never going to cash in.
Right. Yes, exactly.
It'll probably last less time. It'll degrade before the actual fries will.
It will. Yeah. It will. Yeah. When we're putting together our photo album, our McDonald's piece will be in there.
Yeah.
I was going to tell you about a couple other things, and I'll get to them really quick. First off, Hawaii. So I said that at the top of the show. I said, oh, Hawaii.
Yeah.
That is the standard greeting in Ireland. It's like, oh, Hawaii. And you go into a store, Hawaii.
Hawaii. Okay.
It's basically, how are you? But they say it, they put it together so quickly that sometimes it's just, Hawaii. Hawaii.
Oh. And Claire's saying, how are ye? Is it meant to be ye?
Right. Yeah, it's ye. Hawaii.
How are ye?
Yeah, almost sounds like they're saying Hawaii, but they're not. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Hawaii. All right, does it feel like a friendly? It's always a friendly gesture.
It's a very friendly greeting. They really, but it's not meant to be answered legitimately. You're not going to say, oh, woke up with a little bit of a headache this morning. They don't care about that. It's really just Hawaii. Hawaii. Wow. Go on about your business. You say it back to him, and that's it.
Because I'm hearing it sounds almost New York, but if I was there, I would hear.
Yeah, Hawaii.
Hawaii. I'm doing okay. That kind of
that's
thing.
Right. Now, let's get to the other story that I teased on Thursday during the call-in about getting flipped off.
Oh, yeah, the one negative human interaction you had in
The one negative human interaction. Yeah. So I told you about the roundabouts and how I dig the roundabouts, and I'd love to see more roundabouts here, except for the ones that are like a personal pan pizza in the middle of an intersection. In one of these big ones that had a grassy mound in the middle of the street, in the middle of the intersection, basically you'd come to, this would be on the motorway. So you'd have two lanes, and painted on those two lanes, you have a left arrow only, which means that if you go in that lane, you are forced to get off at the next, at the first of the exits on the roundabout. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So like if you imagine a roundabout as a circle with a northeast, west, and south point coming off of them. Right. If you get in the left lane then and it's got that arrow, that single arrow, you're getting off at the first exit off of that roundabout.
Right.
The second lane, the right lane, has a straight arrow and a right turn arrow, which mean that, all right, you get in this lane, you can't get off the first, but you have to do either the second or the third roundabout exit.
Sure.
Makes sense. Makes perfect sense. And sure. I love seeing those things.
Right.
During this part of the drive, and I think it was between Belfast and Sligo, there was this BMW that was just hot on my butt, like totally tailgating me. I'm going the speed limit. I'm going maybe actually a few kilometers per hour over the speed limit, whatever. It's, what I naturally do. Mm-hmm. But I'm certainly not going to speed. And I'm in what would be the slow lane. I'm in the left lane. He can go around to the right and pass me. No big deal. But man, just like wanted to be on my butt.
Yeah.
So finally, we get to this roundabout, and somehow at this point he'd gotten beside me. He was in the left lane with the two. Oh yeah, because I went over into the right lane because we were going to be going straight. He pulled up next to me in the left lane with the arrow.
Okay.
With just the single arrow.
Gotcha.
We start going around the roundabout. He doesn't get off at that first exit like he's supposed to because he's got that single arrow.
Yeah, and he's a local. He should know.
And he's a local.
Yeah.
Assume that he's a local.
Yeah.
So he's like kind of crowding me now in the right lane, and I've got to get off at the second exit of the roundabout.
Yeah.
So I basically just go like I'm supposed to go, right?
I
go from that right lane, then into the left lane, and then into the next street, the next part of the motorway. He zips around me and then rolls down his window, and I get this huge tattooed arm with giving me the Irish bird.
Yeah.
And
did he say anything? Yell anything?
No, he probably did, but we had our windows up. I mean, our windows up. He had his down, obviously.
Yeah.
But he was like, we watched him for a while. He was a little road rager. He was doing that to every car he came to.
Oh.
Zipping up, tailgating him. Who knows? I mean, just some guy.
Maybe he was known as Tourette's O'Reilly and he just couldn't stop
maybe,
doing it.
Yeah. Maybe. But that was the only negative interaction that we had with anybody there in Ireland was
that's pretty good. Like,
that's a good batting average for Ireland.
Yeah, I would agree.
Exactly.
It probably prepared you nicely to come home and go to a movie and have a weird lady jump up during the credits. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Well, all right. Guy who flipped you off, I hope you're all right and that you're having a decent day. Hey, I thought there'd be something you'd like to... by the way. So, yeah. The weirdest game of the year came out yesterday, and I don't mean the game itself. What I mean is a game owned by Microsoft They picked it up for the acquisition of Bethesda, which had already owned... I forgot the name of the studio. Whatever it is. They already own them. So Microsoft bought the whole thing for 7 billion, and now they own the people that make Deathloop. Therefore, they own Deathloop. But Deathloop was originally announced as a PlayStation 5 exclusive. It's on PC now, though, so you can get it on PC if you want.
There you go.
Arcane, there it is.
Arcane,
is now out on the PlayStation 5 and getting rave reviews, 10 out of 10s in a lot of places. People really like it. Yeah. It's now a timed exclusive, which means it's no longer a permanent exclusive. It'll end up being on Series S and X at some point.
Which makes sense. 6 months. It should be. Yeah.
It should be. But here's the funny thing. There's the weird thing that makes it weird is this is one of the best releases on PS5 this year. Uh-huh. And it's very likely that that developer's games, either a sequel to this or anything else, will never be on that console again.
Right, right, exactly. Deathloop 2, not allowed to be on PlayStation.
Yeah. I mean, they might change their mind and do it. There may be a deal to make. I don't know.
Right.
They've said that they're going to pick and choose which things get multi-platform, but it's just an odd thing. But the oddest thing of them all is that Brian Ibbett bought a game, didn't let it sit on either a hard drive or a shelf, actually played a game yesterday.
Right.
I don't even know what to say.
And data came out. Like, basically, that's how much I've been looking forward to this thing, is that when the, like, I pre-downloaded it so that at midnight I could play it. I didn't. I played it, you know, this morning.
Sure.
But played it for a good hour before the show, and oh, damn, it's fun. I'm really early on in it, of course, right? Like, I've died and done the loop a couple times of like starting over.
It's live, die, repeat in game form, but you basically, what I'm hearing about it is that they've just been ingenious about the puzzle, because the puzzle at the end of the day is just like a level. It's like one big level, and you got to kill certain people and you have to unravel all of the clues. This is perfect for you, is what I'm saying.
It's totally. This is right up my alley, because I love those movies. I like Palm Springs and Groundhog Day and, Live, Die, Repeat. That's a much better name than Edge of Tomorrow, which sounds like a soap opera.
So agree. Oh my gosh. That was such a bad choice. And
it
such
was.
An awesome
I think
movie.
If they would have called it Live, Die, Repeat, it would have done better at the box office.
It would have done great. That was the name of the book anyway. You may as well just have done it. And that's a great movie. Mm-hmm. If you've never seen it, you should see it. It also features one of the best Bill Paxton performances of his career, in my opinion.
It does. Yeah, totally does.
He's really good.
And and Emily Blunt.
That's right. With that chin.
The lovely and talented Emily Blunt and her chin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, speaking of her, I saw her in that, I saw her walking around that Met Gala thing yesterday with all those other freak shows. I heard somebody say today, the best description I heard of the Met Gala is, the Met Gala is models trying to look weird and weirdos trying to look like models. So the models that are there, they're always models there, and they all look, they're all just going for the weird, and then all the actors and everybody who want to look cool on a runway are all trying to look weird.
Right.
It's weird. It's cosplay.
Yeah,
for
I have not looked, I'm looking right now for the first time at any of these outfits.
They're
and
weird, really weird.
Rihanna is standing with a guy who looks like he's just wearing a quilt.
Yeah.
Like he's got a quilt wrapped around him.
Yeah, her boyfriend guy, whatever he is now, he's just like in a quilt. She looks kind of normal. There's a lady with a sword. I forgot who that was. Somebody's testicles were out. There was a...
Wow, Whoopi Goldberg just wearing the color purple. Yeah, like
Guinan.
Oh, yeah. What's this one? It looks like a... She's like a Kinder Egg, Peaky Lane. I don't know who that is, but she's dressed like a Kinder Egg.
The best thread I saw on this, and that's what the only thing I care about at all with this Met Gala thing, and it's been 2 years, so it's been a bit, because they didn't do it for last year for COVID, but is the memes. And there's this one thread by this Celeste Labeds. She's a, what do you call her? She's a meteorologist. What do you, when you're in minerals, mineralogist?
Oh, a geologist?
Seismologist, I guess. A geophysics PhD person. Really smart.
Gotcha. Okay.
She did a whole thread of comparing everybody's outfit to an equivalent mineral. And it's striking. Striking stuff. I'm going
to
share this with you. I'll put it in the chat. It's amazing. Here, chat. I'll send this to you guys.
Wow, Tessa Thompson. I mean, she looks great.
She always does.
I'm trying to figure out what this thing is. It's like she's wearing a harp.
Yeah, yeah. It is like a harp. It's that weird. Yeah. It's almost like fleshy down at the bottom. It's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. And then it like turns into a rose at the bottom.
So when you get a second, that thread is worth your time.
Excellent. You put it there. It is. I see it in chat. Okay. Celeste,
it's amazing. Like it's just an entire Twitter thread, and she found here. I'll
oh my God. No kidding. This first one, just Lucy Boynton.
Yep.
L Bate.
Yeah. She's L Bate. This lady here, who's this? Charlie XCX is a sulfur. Yeah. She stinks, I guess.
Oh my God.
Billy Porter, pyrite, whatever. Oh, I don't see his second image. There's another Laverne Cox's hamentite. Like it's amazing.
Oh, this is great. Oh my God. This, Sophia Sanchez, Berenice Agut.
Yeah.
All right. This is where I'm going to check out the outfits from the, Met Gala.
Yeah. This is the only place any of this is going to matter. Yeah. And she's added a bunch. Cause as of yesterday, none of these I've seen about 10 new ones already. So she's on it, man. Anyway, it's great. This is how this stuff should be viewed. These hoity toity walking around with their thumbs in the air, weirdos. Having their weird cosplay moment, whatever they're all doing, it's fun to look at it through these eyes and not.
It really is. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Did Nicki Minaj show up? Oh, I don't think she did she?
I thought she did. Wasn't there a thing?
I thought her whole thing was that she. Again, there was so many news stories about Nicki Minaj yesterday. I think, A, she has COVID is one story.
Oh.
B, that she doesn't want to get the vaccine because it causes. Testicles to enlarge.
Oh.
And I don't know. And, you know, it's the media like completely twisting every possible thing she could say. But I think there's some truth or there's some real Nicki Minaj says in the base of all of this.
What if she put her. Wait, is there. If you inject it into your testicles.
She truly is a triple threat, folks. She's she's a rapper, she's a patient zero, and she's a misinformer. She's
fantastic.
Just truly a triple threat.
Fantastic.
She's an infector.
Yeah, she's an infector. Not a divider, an infector. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's a hoot. It's a weird. I just don't understand it. It's like Dragon Con for rich people who are out of touch with society. It's how it feels.
That's a great description.
Yeah, that's how it feels to me. But good luck to them, and thank you to Lady What did the minerals, because that cracked me up.
Yeah, I'm going to enjoy that thread later.
I found
today.
A story while you were out of town that I wanted to share. It's short. I don't know why I liked it because... I put Edit Murphy. It's supposed to be
I was going to say, you put Edit Murphy.
It's supposed to be Edit Murphy. Like, I can't type.
It's like your autocorrect is set to Spagnola or something.
Why can't I spell Murphy? Wait, that's not right either.
No, just take the A out.
Why do I want to put an A in there? What is my deal?
Don't do it. There's no A in
Murphy. All right, well,
there you go.
I found this video of Eddie Murphy just sharing a little story. And he's kind of our time, you know, growing up.
Is it when he picked somebody up on Hollywood Boulevard, story?
No, not that one. Very different story than that one. Here, I'll play it for you. It's pretty good. And it references a couple of things in 80s comedy that you and I will relate to. So enjoy. I just thought you'd like this. Here you go.
Years ago, I was played the comic strip in Fort Lauderdale. And I was maybe 17 years old, and Rodney Dangerfield comes in. He bumps everybody. It's like, Dangerfield is here. You can't, he's going, Dangerfield's going up. So, and nobody wanted to follow him because it was Dangerfield, you know, he was going to, but I was really like full of myself back then. So I was like, Mr. Dangerfield, after the show, will you watch my set? And he was like, yeah, sure, kid. So he goes up, he says, hey, I get no respect. All that Dangerfield stuff. And the ceiling caves in with laughter, you know. Then I go up and I do my thing. And back then I was, really dirty, and I did, you know, edgy racial stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is 1980, so it's like this kid on stage doing edgy racial stuff. And so afterwards, Dangerfield sees me, and he's like, hey, kid, I don't know where you're going to go with that, you know, with the language and the race stuff. And what are you going to do? What do you need to do that now? And I was crestfallen. Cut to 2-3 years later. I got on Saturday Night Live and had gotten really successful. And I was at Vegas in the bathroom at Caesar's Palace. And I was at the urinal and I had a leather suit on and it was all of that period. You know, and Rodney Dangerfield comes to the urinal right next to me. And I look over and he looks at me and says, hey, who knew?
I don't know why I love that story so much, but I freaking love it.
That's awesome. I wanted that whole story to end with,
I know, and that's the thing about Eddie Murphy in his like later age. He's not laughing like that anymore.
No, he's so subdued now. Yeah, so that's a recent, must be a really recent interview.
Yeah, right? It was like just barely like some month ago or something. But I really like that story a lot.
Hey, who knew?
Hey, I just figured you'd appreciate it, given that those two guys were kind of part of our comedy childhood. You know, they were there. They were part of it.
We were watching Beverly Hills Cop and Back to School, one right after the other, and enjoying both. So
may have been the same summer for all I remember.
Could have been, yeah.
One final note before we get to some news today.
Okay.
Albert in Maryland wrote in. Mm-hmm. He is Mayor McCheese in the chat room. He might be here today.
Okay.
I don't know if he is.
All right.
Mayor McCheese wrote in and he said, regarding Iron Maiden, he put Ryan Maiden, but he means
Ryan Maiden, who's the director of The Force Awakens, if I remember correctly.
Oh, I can't wait.
The Last Jedi.
Yeah, the Knives Out 2 sequel is going to be real good from Ryan Maiden. Anyway, he says, Bruce Dickinson battled and survived tongue cancer. Oh, this is because I brought the band up while you were gone. I think it was with Garrett.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I was talking about how, whoa, they got a new album? No way. What's going on? And I could hear in Bruce Dickinson's voice a difference.
Yeah.
And so this is a follow-up on that. Bruce Dickinson battled and survived tongue cancer around 2015. Although his voice isn't what it used to be, it's still incredible. You should also check out the song Tears of a Clown from their Book of Souls album. He wrote it in memory of Robin Williams. I would also like to hear your thoughts on their video for the song The Writing on the Wall. Thanks for all you do, Albert. Well, Albert, I'm going to check all that stuff out. And I had no idea Bruce Dickinson had a tongue cancer thing. I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. We covered Iron Maiden on Soundography and talked about that and listened to their whole catalog. I became more of an Iron Maiden fan than I was before.
Mm-hmm.
From doing that episode.
There's stuff to like and, there. I mean, it's not just Eddie the Beast and that cool artwork, which was all I cared about when I was younger. But but the music's, you know, there's some stuff there. It's cool.
There is, for sure. I saw this in the notes yesterday, so I decided before the show I'd check out the Writing on the Wall or check out the video for it.
Oh, yeah.
It's cool. It's an animated video featuring... it's like a... You'll like it because it's a Mad Max Fury Road style... kind of remind me a lot of Heavy Metal, the movie. But it features a president who might be influenced by a certain recent president of ours and a dictator from North Korea who, I don't know, maybe looks a little bit like that one guy.
Mm.
Kind of getting their just desserts. The, Eddie
the Beast.
The Beast comes in and kind of fixes some things.
Look at the style of this.
Yeah, it's a very cool animated deal.
Oh, you're right about the influence of
the Mad Maxiness of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is right up my alley. I didn't know this existed. Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah. Right. It's a long video, so, you know, tuck in like 8 minutes or 9 minutes or something.
Why isn't this a whole show that I can watch all the time on Netflix or something?
Right? Yeah. Well,
look at this.
It's a whole show that you can watch on on YouTube.
Yeah.
It really would fit as part of Love, Death, and Robots.
Oh, man. It would, totally. This is that style. Yeah, this is my jam. All right. Very cool recommendation. Thank you very much for all of those clarifications and ideas there, Albert. If you'd like to be like Albert, send your emails to themorningstream@gmail.com. Now, the news. Let's get to the news, brought to you by
Joystick and Mouse. This is a show put together by our friends Alex Albisu and Diddy and Tim, who was out yesterday for the show that we recorded, which comes out tomorrow. Brand new episode coming out tomorrow where we go over all of the 19 trailers, game trailers that Sony had in their big event last week. Boy, Scott, I wonder if you could guess which games I'm looking forward to the most out of that whole list.
Well, if I had to guess, they're both Insomniac titles and they're both Marvel tie-ins. And yeah, I'm equally as excited. Actually, from that event, I came away most excited about the Wolverine potential. We don't really know what that game is yet at all.
We don't know anything about it, but just knowing how well they did the Spider-Man stuff. Wolverine hopefully is going to be in that same.
Insomniac does not make crappy games. They don't know how to do that. And so even their worst game is better than many people's best. So whatever they do, I'm all in. Did you notice in that trailer the little Hulk 181 reference in there? Did you notice that?
Oh, I didn't. I missed it.
So in the background, it's that busy bar, right? And you don't really see his face.
The trashed bar,
If you look past him, there's a license plate that says HLK 181 on it.
That's cool.
Which, of course, you know, everyone knows Wolverine showed up in issue 181 of the Hulk. So, anyway, I don't think it means the Hulk's going to be in this game, and maybe he will. I don't know. I have no idea. But do you have that issue? Oh, you bastard. That's right.
Are you referring to this issue right here?
That's the one.
Yep.
That's the one. Yeah. How mint is that? Have we talked about this? We probably have.
It's not very mint, unfortunately. It's overall, I would say it's in very good condition.
That's awesome.
Except for one problem. whoever owned this before me cut out the Marvel value stamp out of the letters page.
Lame.
Now, it's a non-artwork page, right? So the back of it just has an ad for Hostess Fruit Pies or something.
Yeah.
But so all of the Hulk and Wolverine pages, perfectly fine. But that one page has that little cutout on it. And it's like, I could pay the $75 to get this thing CGC graded, but I don't know what that cutout would do to the value of it.
What's cover price on there? Is it under a buck? What's the...
It's 25. Yeah, 25 cents. Jeez. Look at that. I saw your tweet right before the show about 12 cent
the
comics.
The 12 cent comics, and then now 25, and then now we're, what, $5 average for an issue? It's insane how much they've gone.
Oh, I just spilled coffee all over my Hulk 181. Oh, darn.
Oh, shoot. Well, good thing it went through the big hole someone cut out of it.
Dude, right. Just passed right through that hole and everything's fine.
No issues. All right. Here's a story for you, Brian. Let me regale you with this news story. This is breaking news. Not really. A Spanish bishop has resigned. Oh, did we make the point that you were on? You guessed it on Joystick and Mouse. Did we make that point? You were on there last night.
Oh,
you're on that episode.
I think we did.
I don't think you mentioned that part.
Yeah, I'm the special guest on that. Well, I'm the guest. I don't know about special, but I'm the guest on tomorrow's episode. So we recorded it last night. You could have seen it live, but now you got to wait for the show. Joystick and Mouse, Alex Albizu's podcast on the InCast Media Network.
Go check it out. How did you get past his voice and stuff, though? Was that hard? Or
I had to drink a lot before the show. Just so that I wouldn't keep bringing it up. I'm like, oh my God, this voice.
It's hard, right? You almost have to hum to yourself, kind of mute it. Just kidding, Alex. You're the best. We think you're great.
We love you, Alex.
He's in the chat.
Second place. Yeah, you're runner-up, you.
You're the best damn runner-up second placer we ever had. All right. Spanish bishop. A Spanish bishop. That means a dude.
Spanish bishop.
Dude in Spain.
That means that, that instead of he uses a stiletto when he plays Mumbledy Peg on the aliens ship instead of a Bowie knife.
That is 100% correct. Well done.
It's a deep cut.
It's a very deep cut. Holy crap. Spanish bishop has resigned to pursue his relationship with a satanic-tinged erotic fiction author.
Oh, all right.
I like the story.
Satanic-tinged erotic fiction author. Okay.
Yep. Professor Xavier Novell. They make, what do they used to make? Novell. What did Novell make?
Oh, Novell.
They were here in Utah. I don't know why I can't think of
it. Yeah, were they rockets?
No.
Like, software, no, that's Revell or something like that.
Software, and it was like...
Network operating system, right, yes. Right, Novell Networks, yes.
Yeah, and Novell, what was the thing called that was like their big communicate-y, server-y shit? And it was right, their CEO, he left and went and did Android. Gosh dang it. I can't think of it. Netflix. Sorry. Novell. It's like Novell Netware. That's it. Netware.
Netware. Yes.
Damn. Right. All right. Word perfect era stuff, man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Tom would have had that in 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah. He had it behind him probably in a box for all we know. Anyway, says this dude's got a hell of a resume, says this article. In the Catholic Church, according to the BBC, became Spain's youngest bishop in 2010, 41 years old. He's also an exorcist and such a big fan of the conversion therapy process, an opponent of abortion, euthanasia, and gay marriage that he was considered extreme even by the church's own standards. Now, because he wanted his rap sheet to be a little more colorful, he has left all that behind to pursue a relationship with a psychologist and author of the book, author of a satanic-tinged erotic fiction book, Silvia Caboleor. He initially attributed to personal reasons for his resignation. It came as a surprise last month, followed by him meeting several times with Vatican officials as well as the Pope himself. What if they did it in a little car with the glass around it, you know?
Oh, like, I bet. Yeah, right, the little Pop-O-Matic trouble Pope mobile.
Yeah, that'd be cool. In the blurb of one of her works, I should say this is a lady he's saying, not a dude.
It's a lady, yeah. It's Silvia Caballol.
Yeah, just in case someone was looking for it to be a little more spicy than it is. It's just a lady.
in case the satanic tinged erotic fiction isn't salacious enough.
If that's not enough. The reader in her books are promised, quote, a journey into sadism, madness, and lust, and a struggle between good and evil. God and Satan with a plot to shake one's values and religious beliefs, unquote.
Oh, yeah. This is...
Anyway. I like the story.
Can't wait to read that.
Yeah, it'll be a page turner, Brian. Yeah. You won't be able to stop. You'll be up all night. Here's a story about, speaking of flights, we were talking about flights a little bit, not much, more yesterday, but anyway, a woman missed her flight and then falsely claimed a bomb was on that plane at a Florida airport, according to the sheriff.
So they would come back so that she could get on the plane?
I don't know if she was just like mad, and so she was like, man, there's a bomb on there anywhere. Well, let's find out. This 46-year-old woman, aren't they always, was arrested on Monday night in Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport and charged with falsely reporting a bomb, explosive, or weapon of mass destruction, according to Broward Sheriff's Office news release. I didn't know that was the thing you could do. You could report a weapon. You could report falsely report a weapon of mass destruction.
I mean, it's a charge that kind of encompasses all those, right? If you falsely report a bomb on a plane, it falls under the jurisdiction of bomb, explosive, or weapon of mass destruction.
In theory, could
W also have gotten the same charge?
Yeah, if you falsely claim a weapon of mass destruction and you don't find one, is that a? Yeah. I realize that, you know, presidents are in a high office.
Just won't get fooled again. Is what's going to happen.
It's not going to happen. I'll catch that shoe if you throw it at me. Throw me a shoe. I'll catch it. He was a hell of a shoe catcher, that guy.
He was, yeah.
Say what you want, wherever you land on.
I don't think he caught him. I think he just dodged him. He didn't catch him.
Oh, that's right. He just dodged out of the way. That's
If you would have caught it and thrown it back, oh man. We would have figured out a way to reelect him a third time.
Heck yeah. he'd be in there now, man. That'd be cool.
I can't like reflexes.
I just remember being blown away by that video.
Yeah.
Because it was two shoes, right? Like
it
the
was.
Guy got the
he
one
had,
off
like,
and
first one shoe, and then he's like looking, and then the next shoe comes and he dodges the other direction.
Yeah, that was great. I love that.
Yeah. All right. Who throws a shoe?
Yeah. anyway, so here's the deal. The airline employees told responding deputies that the woman had stated the bomb was in her check-in luggage and it was aboard the plane that she missed.
So she said it was in her own luggage?
Yeah, it was in her own stuff, like she did it. She made the claims after workers told her she and her party had arrived too late to board the plane. So this is her revenge, I guess.
Oh, jeez.
I'm guessing there's alcohol involved somehow. Copious amounts of it.
The plane was already taxiing on the runway, but had not taken off, and it was rerouted. Passengers were evacuated. The plane was searched. No explosives found. She's in huge trouble. So,
yeah, she really thought this plan through, right? Like, missed the flight. I'll just tell them that my bag had a bomb in it, and we'll all just laugh about it, and I'll get on the plane when it comes back.
Honestly, I don't know what you're thinking. Like, if I'm that lady, what is she thinking?
Right.
Yeah, what benefit is this? Because in her head, she's thinking, she's mad, so I understand. She's in a bit of a like, you guys suck kind of mode.
Yeah, sour grapes kind of situation.
But then to say, there's a bomb in my bag and it's already on the plane. Like, that's going to help get them.
Right.
And
like, okay, you win. We'll pull the plane back so you can get on it.
Yeah, that's just about the dumbest, weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, awesome.
Chat room still talking about Novell. Novell really they got eaten by competition from Microsoft in the end of the day. Like network stuff, just they couldn't hold the line. I don't know what they do now. There's still the Novell building over there. I don't know what they do. Something going on, but people
make quality footwear.
Yeah,
I had to look at the site because I wanted to see the mugshot of this woman, and I was really expecting somebody to look a little methier.
Yeah,
she doesn't look as methy as I was expecting.
No, she just looks miffed. You know,
I guess she's a Chicago woman, not a Florida woman. She just happened to be in Florida.
Which the big shoulders, the Windy City.
That's right.
Let's see.
Oh, hey, can I, speaking of Chicago, can I just rave about something real quick?
Go ahead.
So
I hear it's a hell of a town.
Go ahead. it's a heck of a town.
Yeah.
It's a toddling town.
Yeah.
So, you know, our friend of the show, Barry Folk, who watched our house while we were gone, sent me, as we talked about at the end of the show yesterday, a box of Luminati's pizzas.
Right,
you gotta say it fast like it's the Illuminati, but Lou Malnati's pizzas that UPS had delayed the delivery of by 2 days, and it didn't get, you know, it wasn't cold. So I opened up the box. They were cool. The pizzas were cool. They were in a styrofoam container, and there was a bag that at one point had dry ice in it. Didn't anymore.
Yeah.
I got on the phone to Taste of Chicago, tasteofchicago.com, and maybe was on the, like, basically said, hi, I got this, this box, a friend of mine bought me some pizzas, and the UPS delayed the delivery, didn't get here in time, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And she says, no problem. Give me the code that's on the top of the label on the box. I gave her this code. She says, not a problem. The four flavors he picked out for you were this. Do you want to change those? I'm like, oh no, keep them those same four flavors. Great. A new box is on its way to you. Like 30 seconds I was on the phone and they had a new box. I didn't have to go through 8 customer service people. Hmm. I didn't have to take a photo and show them or anything like that. Like within 30 seconds, a new box on its way.
They probably have some kind of insurance, right? Like
I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure they put that. So they'll report it to UPS and say, you did it again to us.
Yeah. How much of you said you had to throw the other stuff away. Was it a lot? Was it like a garbage bag can full of stuff, or how much pizza was that?
Oh, no, it was four Irish, Irish roundabout sized pizzas.
You have this new size comparison. I love it. That's amazing.
Right. Yeah. Bigger than a personal pan pizza at Pizza Hut, but only by a little bit bigger than that. And four of them stacked, and they're deep dish. So they're, 3 inches thick. So they all fit in a single garbage bag, which I gave them their own garbage bag, tied it because they're going to sit in there for a few days before the trash picks them up.
So they're like the ones that Barry,
you got
Ann
the same
and Bobby,
ones, I think. Yeah. Yeah. That Barry sent you
Barry.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, those are about this. You're right. They're like personal pan pizzas, but bonus.
A little
like
bit
a
bigger.
Little,
yeah. 20%. And the sausage one is an entire disc of sausage hidden
it's
under
so
the cheese.
Good. Gosh dang it.
It really is.
It's something you really ought not eat, but man, if it's in front of me and it's out the oven, I'm eating it. I'm freaking eating it. I mean, if I'm trying to keep a list of like healthy things for me to eat all week, that's not on that list, but I'd still eat it. Holy crap.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't have to eat the whole thing, right? You just, have a slice and a salad. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. There you have it. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Justin Robert Youngman will be here. He's going to try to help us make sense of this recall election in California, which is today.
Mm. Yeah. The voting was yesterday and the results come out today.
Oh, is it results today? Oh, I guess so. Tuesday would have been right.
I think so. Yeah. So okay. We should know today the recall status.
I wonder if we know yet. We may not know yet. Probably don't.
I don't know.
That stuff takes time. Let's see. Let me just check real quick.
Newsroom,
tight race.
Sex Service is voting today. I thought it was yesterday. The election.
I did too. Okay. Isn't it always Tuesdays? I thought it's always Tuesdays.
I thought so too, but I could have sworn on Lester Holt yesterday. They were talking about
Lester Holt. I like Lester Holt, except his lips are missing. They're nowhere to be found.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And he doesn't move there much when he talks.
No, his lips are gone and he barely moves. But I like him. All right.
We're saying
we'll
that it is Tuesday and those things usually occur on Tuesdays. That's why I was surprised that it was happening yesterday.
Oh, wait. Oh, today is Tuesday.
Yes. Oh, you. Okay. So they were responding to something you said that I missed.
I think I thought in my head it's Wednesday. It's not Wednesday. It's Tuesday today. Yeah. Yes. You're right. I'm just being dumb about time. All right, jury will be here. That's the point.
Yeah, he can tell us what day of the week it is. So we'll start with that.
Yeah, we'll figure
Hello,
it out.
Hello, friends. It's Tuesday.
Yeah, and there's gonna I have some questions about how I forgot what I was gonna say. I have questions. That's what I have, and I'll ask him when he gets here. Ask him about the burrito. Says Claire, is there some story about a burrito I want to know about? Oh, the burrito last week.
The Oakland big burrito,
15-inch burritos. Yeah, we'll ask him. We'll bring that up. All right. Before we do any of that, though, we got to do some music. Do you have some of that there?
Yeah, I do. This one actually got recommended by a buddy of mine, Phil Keating, who does the Botched tabletop game D&D podcast. He's a really good guy. Mm-hmm. He recommended this one to me. He's a friend of the band, a band called Gozer. Are they the Keymaster or the
Gatekeeper?
Lockpicker.
Right? What was the Lockpicker?
What's the other? The Keymaster
and the Gatekeeper, right?
Gatekeeper. That's it. Yeah, I apparently need to watch Ghostbusters again because I've forgotten that. Anyway, it's a five-piece rock stoner rock band from Albany, New York, that draws influence from classic bands like The Sword, Queens of the Stone Age, Black Sabbath. I can totally hear that. They formed in 2019, and these guys are fantastic. This is from their album, from their self-titled album, their brand new release this year. Whoa. This is Gozer and the song My Design.
Any silly prejudice against computers. I like them.
Look what's come.
He's an android.
The morning stream. I got a middle finger.
Such a weird one. Hey, that song again was...
That song again is My Design by the band Gozer.
Gozer.
Gozer. Yeah. And for the record, my Justin Robert Young and my Stanley impersonations are totally different.
Yeah,
night
not
and
the
day.
Same.
Night
yeah.
and day difference.
Totally different, you guys. Quit trying to say they're the same.
Stanley would say, "Hello, friends." but my jury says, "Hello, friends."
There you go.
See? Like night and day.
Yeah, we know the difference, and the difference is clear. All right, sit back and enjoy, everybody. We're bringing a guy in.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Me too. It's Justin Robert Young joining us from his lovely studios down in Austin, Texas, joining us today to talk a little bit about the political landscape we are all faced with. Not really. We're going to talk about California, but Justin, it's good to have you here. How are you? What's going on?
Talking about being terrible with names, I went to a high school reunion last week. Whew.
Oh, how'd that go?
What?
Yeah?
That was a rough one. Oh, boy, do I not retain a lot of names from high school.
Yeah.
what year was it? Like, how many years since?
20-year high school reunion.
20-year reunion? Okay.
Oh, my Lord.
South Plantation High School. Big shout out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we would have just had our 30 and 17. Jeez, we're old. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I don't like thinking about that. But what did you see people and go, "Oh my gosh, look at him. I thought he was going to be a high roller Joe." And nope, he's lives in a trash can down by the river.
You didn't show up unless you were in pretty good shape and have a good if you were and probably underachieving, you just kind of stayed your ass at home.
Okay. Right. That's totally it. When people asked you what you're doing now, what was your description? Did you say audio producer? Did you say podcaster? Did you say streamer?
Yeah.
It's gaining recognition. Enough people were like, "Oh, podcast. Like, I like a podcast.
Like that Zach Braff show."
Yeah. And I was like, "I do a thing." And they go, and basically it's like, now I've had enough that it's like, "Oh, I do a politics show." And then really the conversation almost immediately becomes whether or not I am in their tribe of politics people.
Oh, and yeah.
I try to predict who's winning and who's not. And they're like, "Oh, that's boring."
That's almost worse. Cause that's just, it leads immediately to that next thing, which is, "Oh, you which side you fight, you know, you pro, whatever, you know," like, you have to, now you got to go there. I wouldn't want to go there.
But you know, I don't know. I like talking about the issues. So, and the news of the day. So I pretty much just start going into, everybody gets their own private version of this segment.
Yeah.
Basically.
You just go Jill Stein all the time. That's I'm all about Jill Stein. You say
I'm all the time.
Yeah. Jill Stein all the time. That's right. Well, all right. Speaking of political things.
The chat room's going to blow a gasket if we don't start
with
the
burrito. Right. We'll start with the burrito. So, okay. A week ago or 2 weeks ago, not even that, week and a half ago, whatever it was, on the show, a story came up about a 15-inch.
Oh, by the way, you mean the week where you had like a billion guest hosts and I wasn't asked to be a guest host?
Yeah, where you were. I actually have a story about that. For anyone who is usually my call, or I would call and say, "Hey, will you want a guest host with me?" All of those guest hosts came to me and said, with one exception, said, "Can I please be on the show? Can I please be on the show?" So I said, "Yes, that'd be great. Let's have you on. Here, you take this day. You take this day." But they were all good.
The Philadelphia Eagles said, "Hey, anybody want to be a quarterback this week?"
Yeah, quarterback? I don't know. Just curious.
Yeah, no, it was weird. You're on the list. You're always on the list, but
I really felt like it when just the parade of guest hosts was showing up last week.
Yeah,
I felt really valued.
Yeah, and you might say, "Oh, well, that's just, they're all getting their shot." But then you hear that Kim got it twice, and you're like, "Oh no, wait a minute! Now I'm starting to feel like maybe he could have called me." Yeah, no, I feel you,
Kim. I feel like would just, you know, like if you could have Kim just do the show, you would.
Well, you know, who knows? If Brian wasn't to come home from Ireland, let's say something weird happened, I don't know what I'd do, but she'd be the easy fallback.
No, I'm saying you just wouldn't be on. Like, if you could just, like, continue to... Kim, can you just do it again this week?
Yeah, she'll just do it. Yeah, have her do it, talk to Brian, and it's all good. So, all right. So there's this story of 15-inch burritos that is like... it's Oakland, so you've been away for a bit, so I don't know how much you've retained or lost since you've moved, but there was this story about these mysterious 15-inch burritos that you could get only in Oakland, and they were trying to track down the source of it, and there was all this talk in this article about these 15-inch burritos, and everybody wanted to know, did Justin ever experience one, know of one, know what the heck we're talking about, is it an Oakland thing, or is this like an aberration, like what the heck is this?
I have never had a 15-inch burrito.
Yeah.
I was not aware that 15-inch burritos existed until you brought it up now. But what I will say is that, especially through the pandemic, you had a lot of ghost kitchens, basically. So, like, a place that there was, like an Umami Burger by us that, like, on the apps was four different restaurants.
Oh, my
right.
gosh.
Right.
A sushi restaurant, the Umami Burger, and then wings or chicken somethings, like chicken fingers or whatever.
Yeah.
So it does not surprise me that in an effort to kind of differentiate themselves, maybe on the apps or something like that, somebody decided that they were going to be the 15-inch burrito people.
Mm-hmm. All right. So maybe it sprung out of that.
That's my guess, having literally no idea, except while we were waiting, people kept screaming about the 15-inch burrito in Oakland. And I know that there is no, like, famous place.
All right.
That, like, you know, if people were coming to visit while I was still there, I'd be like, you gotta go to the 15-inch burrito.
Right.
it's not like that. But if I were to guess, I would say it's probably the product of some Mexican restaurant that is operating either as themselves or as a ghost kitchen.
Out of a burger kitchen or something.
Yeah. Ghost Same kitchens. That's I've never heard the term ghost kitchen or the concept of that. That's fascinating to me.
Like, I mean, you might have ordered it. I mean, I don't know how much you are in the Uber Eats or Postmates lifestyle, but certainly if you are ordering from those apps, and especially during the pandemic, that was just the way that you could kind of at least pay somebody or at least pay your friend.
Right.
It takes a lot of money to operate at half capacity. And that's in many ways for restaurants kind of a death sentence, because you have to bring on X amount of people to run the front of the house for any number of people. And if you were capped at that, then there was only so much money you could make.
Yeah.
But if you just got one or two cooks, you can take these kind of orders. And if you're running three restaurants, quote unquote, out of one kitchen, now theoretically you could triple your business.
That's interesting. It does make me, did a lot of DoorDash during that time. And it makes me wonder if we ever got like a burger that a guy at a pizza place made. You know what I mean? Like, now I wonder.
Yeah, there was some wings place that we knew hadn't opened up a restaurant here, but was like, 15-minute delivery. It's like, well, where the heck could they be? And it was one of those, like a pop-up wings place in another.
I think for wings specifically, all you really got to do is buy wings in bulk.
Make a bowl of sauce. Yeah.
Fryer, like for fries or calamari or anything else. So if you're already running a deep fryer, you might as well toss some wings in there as well. And then you toss it in Frank's Red Hot, get it out the door.
See, these are the pandemic documentaries I'm waiting for. I don't care about I don't want to talk about how the vaccine came to be and where they rushed it and how the got approved in the government and all. I don't want any of that. I want like behind the scenes, weird on the ground stories about just that weird 6 to 8 to 10 months period where everybody was scrambling to figure out what the crap to do. That's what I want. That's the series. Ken Burns, get on it, and let us know how that goes. Probably won't be Ken Burns, but it'd be funny if it was. And it would start with this. Whoops. See, here we go. My dearest burrito, you're 15 inches. All right. Let's get to this California recall business here. Today's the day. This is voting day, although pre-voting's been happening, I guess, for however long California allows that.
A mail-in ballot to everybody, whether or not you are marked as being a mail-in ballot voter. So that is a difference in California, which by and large has been a heavy mail-in ballot voting state. Like, I always wound up getting a mail-in ballot when I lived there, even though I'm a nerd who likes to go to a polling place and kind of have that ceremonial element to it.
Yeah.
But everybody got a ballot. You've had fairly high turn-in so far. Obviously, that's very hard to kind of compare it to anything, since it is a special election and something that has not happened since 2003. So far, so good for Gavin Newsom in terms of the amount of ballots that have come in. But of course, election day is election day.
So the only thing I've really heard about it in the last couple of days was that it seems to be a bit of a playbook thing, but it seems like Larry Elder is already claiming that there's kind of conceding, not conceding, but maybe saying that Newsom is staying, but it's because there's fraud or whatever.
Funny these stories, you know, evolve.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
Because like that is your. So here's what happened. On Larry Elder's site, there is, or I don't even know if it is Larry Elder's site because this only popped up today. There is a group that apparently has funding from Larry Elder's campaign.
Okay.
And these PACs are, or these kinds of groups can be a little hard to track down exactly where the money's coming in. But on the site, there is a button that says report fraud here. And that link goes to a site that is seemingly talking about, you know, basically tomorrow, saying like, well, Gavin Newsom's still governor, but it's because fraud was detected.
Oh, this is like I don't know, the Patriots having two shirts made. One of them says we're the winner, and the other one says, we did good, we were there, but we didn't win. That's what that sounds like to me. That's weird, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and let me plead ignorance on this because I have not done all of my research into this particular thing because I've been writing and recording the episode about the actual election. What I don't know is exactly what this website's group is, because it very quickly becomes Larry Elder officially said. And that's where things tend to get like a little conflated, when it's like whether or not, all right, so is it, if it's not his official website, which is what is my understanding is, and it's a outside group that is supporting him, then what is the culpability directly to the candidate for that group? And that is something that right now I don't know. Let me just make very clear that I've not looked.
Right. The thing I saw was, it was some video clip of him talking, and a reporter asked him if tomorrow the results are in favor of Newsom, will you concede? And he said he couldn't commit to it right now or something like that. So it was one of those things of like, will you accept the election results? And he was like, well, I don't know
how close it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, right. And maybe that's all he means. And so, you know,
well, and also there's no recourse for him. Like, he could say he lost illegitimately on his radio show till the end of time, and he might, but yeah. It's like, does that matter?
Well, it matters in that is there recourse? Could you say there has to be recounts till whenever ad infinitum? Like, I don't know how that stuff works in California. I don't know what their laws are like.
I don't know. There might be a recount provision if it's very, very close, but I don't think that otherwise you can't just loudly declare recall and then everybody has to count the ballots again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, so at this stage, is Newsom ahead with the no recall vote, or what's the, you know, where we're
according
at?
To the polling, look, the polling was very, very close at the end of September, or at the end of August. Well, on August 30th, the Real Clear Politics average was recall was yes on recall by 2%. As of yesterday, it was no on recall by 15.2%. So that is a pretty, pretty, pretty big swing. The Democrats have certainly woken up, at least in terms of the polling. Gavin Newsom at this point looks safe. He had a tremendous ad advantage, especially down the stretch. He had big guns come in and campaign for him, up to and including home state girl Kamala Harris, current vice president, and of course, President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., who came out and campaigned for him a couple of days ago. He, I think, has benefited a lot from Larry Elder breaking out of the pack and becoming the number one person that Newsom could kind of train his fire on. In fact, Joe Biden came out and during his campaign, explicitly tied Larry Elder to Trump, saying that he was a Trump clone. So that's really what Gavin Newsom's strategy has been this entire time, is to brand this as a Republican specific recall, which is slightly rich considering there's such a tremendous Democratic advantage, voter registration advantage. You wouldn't really be able to muster a recall effort unless Democrats were also mad at you. But nobody has really been able to break through that. And even Larry Elder, who has by the polling broken out of the rest of the pack, he is the most charismatic. And I'm going to say the things that nobody else wants to say, which runs right into the caricature of the fact that Donald Trump is puppeteering a recall attempt from, you know, beyond the political grave.
Sure. So did that Rose McGowan business push the needle in any direction or another? She was, that was supposed to be a big deal for Larry Elder. Do you know if that made a difference? I don't know if a celebrity makes a difference or not. Do they ever make a difference?
I don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
Oh, so, you know, Machine Gun Leg, what's her name?
No, I don't know who Rose McGowan is.
Yeah, so she came out and did like a...
Larry Elder?
Yeah, she came out to a big presser event thing and pushed for Elder or whatever. And I remember it was, or when I saw it, I thought, oh, that's okay. Well, now we got all these, you know, potential celebrities involved. And I wondered who the other side was going to drag out. And then I remembered the Met Gala was happening. And then I went and laughed at those people for an hour. So I lost track of it. Is what I'm saying. I don't know really what happened with it, but
well, that puts you ahead of me, who never found it. But no, I don't particularly think that Rose McGowan moved the political needle much. Although,
if she had come out with a machine gun on her leg, then,
going to win yeah. against Gavin Newsom,
yeah,
you had to make this a post-party issue.
Yeah.
There's not enough Republicans in California to win on saying I'm going to bring Republican values to California. There just ain't enough of them. It is a tremendous voter registration advantage for the Democrats. And so Gavin Newsom should win this handily. In fact, if it is in any way close, it really is an indictment, considering the fact that, again, no Democrat should really ever lose, especially one that's very, very rich and well-connected like Gavin Newsom is. The question largely will be after this is strategically – what could an opposition candidate have done to tie the frustrations that a lot of California residents have to Gavin Newsom without this being, or to neuter the idea that this is some Donald Trump engineered plot,
yeah.
right? Because Gavin Newsom is very much painting himself as a totally, you know, it's not like he's saying, hey, it's been a little rough, guys. He's saying like, oh my God, This is the worst thing ever. Look, they're trying to, like, this is basically a coup that Donald Trump personally is trying to do in California.
Yeah.
And so far has been able to make that work for him, which means to me that there was no opposition candidate that was able to paint a narrative that was more sympathetic to an average California voter, despite the fact that there are things via polling that people are upset about in California.
So are there... So when today will you know? When's polls close? I guess we won't know because it's always counting, right? Is that true?
We won't know for sure if there is a substantial, like, you know, 15% lead. And mm-hmm. like basically yes on recall is not going to win via mail-in ballots because
okay.
that has by and large been heavily Democratic voters.
Right.
So, if yes on recall is a little bit ahead by tonight, then it probably loses. If no on recall is ahead after all the election day stuff is counted, then almost certainly Gavin Newsom is safe. The only situation that you would really be a sweated out is if yes on recall was ahead by like 8 points by the end of tonight. And then we see that whittle away by mail-in ballots being counted.
All right. So if he stays in or if he leaves, the person taking over his term would end in 2023. His term ends in 2023.
Yeah. And just one reminder for yeah. people who have been following this very, very closely. The California recall is a 2-question ballot. Question 1, should Gavin Newsom be recalled or not? Yes or no? And then the second is who should replace him if yes.
Yeah.
Gavin Newsom is officially telling all of his supporters vote no and leave the second one blank.
Yeah.
But should yes win, should that get even a simple majority? So Gavin Newsom could get 49.9% of the vote and yes could get 50.1% of the vote. He's gone. And then at that point, the person who is highest on the who should replace him, whether or not it's a majority, is the governor for the next year and change.
How would you feel if everybody put in that line Gloria Young? Then how would you feel? What do you think about that? Because then she would literally take over and be the governor for a year and a half or whatever.
That would be challenging since she's not a resident of California. you know, so she would have some residency questions that would be brought up. She'd have to do some creative accounting to show that she never moved from San Diego in 1993.
She still has my vote. She has my vote no matter what.
So that would be a question. The one candidate that I was really, really impressed with was a YouTuber who we actually interviewed on the Politics podcast called Meet Kevin Paffraff. Meet Kevin is his name on YouTube. Paffraff is his actual legal name. He has been polling by Real Clear Politics average a second behind Larry Elder. He is a Democrat that is running a very critical campaign against Gavin Newsom, but not unlike you or me, just a guy on the internet with a fan base who decided to run in this race and has gotten statewide and national attention in outpacing the likes of actual career politicians that are sitting in either the California State Senate or have run major cities before, and Caitlyn Jenner, whose candidacy was a total and complete joke.
Yeah, that didn't go anywhere. And that's right. Probably okay.
She went somewhere. She went to Australia to film a reality television competition. She went on Australia's Big Brother show.
So it's almost, almost like she never intended actually to take any of this seriously. And it was all just sort of a...
She got fleeced by a couple of different campaign people that gassed her up and said she was going to be the next governor and then just kind of left with the money.
Well, that's what you get. High stakes politics, baby. Don't get in there if you don't want to be in there. Justin, you may as well let people know where they can find some of this coverage, because, you know, there's going to be plenty of it this week. Where should people go? What should they look for?
Two-part episode on the recall for PX3 today. You can go ahead on over and follow Politics on the podcatcher of your choice. But the episode will be part one that'll come out around mid-afternoon today, and then after Great Night, so I may or may not be drunk while I record part two, we will have whatever the results are that are available a little bit later this evening. Meanwhile, on the PX3 feed, we are doing PX Free.
Whoa!
All the content that's usually behind the paywall for folks who support us at Take Politics Seriously is in the main feed this week. So already in the feed is our Sunday edition, where I break down the trends and highlights of all the Sunday shows that happen, like Meet the Press and Face the Nation and all that. And then Thursday, there will be a bonus episode as well. So in the free feed this week, there will be 5 episodes for you, the discerning listener.
Wow. That is cacophony of content none of you knew was there, and yet here it is. So get on it. Justin R. Young on Twitter if you want to poke him there. We'll see you next time. Oh, I gotta play your damn thing, hold on.
The jury will now retire.
Bye now. All right, he's gone. Very now cool. That's the end of that.
You know,
he's
if
gone.
We if we ever wanted to do that same thing for TMS, we could call it free MS for a week, and we give everybody
Brian, that's brilliant. That's a great idea. I mean, we do, what would that be, like the PM edition for free that week?
Right, we give them the PM edition and the before and after show stuff. And
We should do a free MS. That's a great idea.
Yes.
Why not?
Yeah.
All right, we're doing that. That's we're stealing that idea, and we're not giving him any credit for it.
That's right.
Because you said it. It was your idea, so Brian wins, everyone.
Send your cease and desist emails to Brian at Coverville.
That's right, baby. All right, we're done. We're out. We're finished. Want to thank everybody for being here and for supporting us on our Patreon, patreon.com/TMS. You guys are awesome, and we just think the world of you. And here's the thing. If you want cool artwork, I'm about to submit that today, in fact, for the month, you got to sign up over there. If you want pre and post show content every day when we finish the show, that's another way you can get it. And the main feed does not get that. All sorts of rad stuff. So if you are available and willing to head over there and do that, that'd be great. I want to think a quick name here. Let's see. Joining us all the way back in... August 14th, 20, or no, I'm sorry. These are the wrong dates. This is join date. I want join date descending. Here we go. All the way back on February 6th of 2014, Gordon Williamson became a grade A supporter. I want to thank him. And then Doug Clemen, who joined on the 6th of that, or that same day, it looks like. He is also a grade A supporter.
Thanks, Doug.
He's a grade A plus supporter, in fact.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. That's an even higher one. How about Frederick Peterson, who's at the deal me in level? He's been around and still is with us since February 7th of 2014. You guys are amazing. And if you want to be like those people, sign up. That's patreon.com/TMS. For everything else, it's frogpants.com/TMS. And now we will play music Brian has brought.
Yes. This one's going out to Yavang in the chat room. Troy, in real life. Troy is a winemaker who sent me some awesome peach wine years ago. He says, hello, Scott, Brian, and my tadpool friends. Greetings from Southeast Louisiana. This place is a living hell at the moment. He wrote this on the 3rd, so... A little under a couple weeks ago. The heat index is 100 degrees and we've been without power for a week now. It'll probably be another week or two before it gets restored. The non-perishable food and water situation is not great. Gas is extremely difficult to find. After 2 failed attempts, my car is almost on empty, so I can't even leave town. We have a good community here. I know I won't starve or die of thirst, but it's pretty miserable, and it probably will be for a while longer. Oof. Thankfully, I've been able to charge my phone using a small solar panel. My gosh, the stuff you're having to go through. Yeah. Listening to your podcast gives me a small semblance of normalcy. Brian, I'd like to request a song. Can you find a song that reminds us of cooler temperatures or maybe just something uplifting? Thank you. P.S. It's a little like Mad Max Fury Road down here. Maybe Scott would like to come for a visit, bring snacks and gas. Ha ha.
Ha ha. I got family down there. Sure. Why not? Let's go. Mad Max Fury Road. Let's go.
There you go. Troy, I hope things get better for you. I hope things have gotten better for you down there, and I hope things continue to get better for you. I haven't kept up on how things are going. Been out of the loop, sadly. But I wanted to play a cover that should hopefully keep you cool. It is a song called Cool. It's a cover of the song by Gwen Stefani, which I think was a description of her relationship with Gavin Rossdale from Bush after their breakup, how they're still cool and they're still friends. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case, but that's what the lyrics make me think. This cover is by Caitlin Tarver from the single she released in 2019. And it's just got that cool, no pun intended, electronic sound with reverb boat vocals that I really like. Here is Caitlin Tarver and her cover of Cool.
show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Just in time to watch Stanley find our worm.
Oh. Mm, mm. Oh.